WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The ROTC instructor killed by a gunman on ODU's campus is laid to rest. State officials roll out the new Vape Enforcement Act. And Augusta County officials hold a cornerstone ceremony at the new courthouse. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, March 24. The ROTC instructor killed by a gunman who burst into his classroom at Old Dominion University was laid to rest Sunday. Steve Walsh with our partner station WHRO has the story.
Mourners filled the court at Cartway Arena to honor Lieutenant Colonel Brandon Shaw. His wife, Catherine, says he cared deeply about his students.
I truly believe Brandon knew exactly what he was doing in those final moments. He was protecting people. He was protecting his kids.
ODU has been on spring break, but ROTC students filled several rows. Cadet Cecilia Faso described Shaw as direct.
Thank you for being our professor, our mentor, our friend, and upholding and exceeding the standard. We have the watch from here.
Two students were injured in the shooting. The FBI confirms Shaw confronted the gunman when he entered the classroom and placed himself in front of his students.
Steve Walsh reporting. Healthcare continues to be a sticking point in Washington and Richmond as state and federal lawmakers clash over funding subsidies that expired last year. Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
16 years ago this week, President Barack Obama signed the Affordable Care Act. Since that time, more than a million uninsured Virginians have been able to get health insurance. Here's Ashley Kenneth at the Commonwealth Institute.
In 2010, the uninsured rate for adult women in Virginia was 16%. The most recently available data shows that the uninsured rate for adult women in Virginia is at 8%. That means, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, we were able to cut the uninsured rate for non-elderly women in Virginia by half. But that progress is all in peril due to H.R. 1's healthcare cuts.
The Virginia General Assembly is considering backfilling some of the cuts created by H.R. 1, although state budget negotiations are currently at a standstill. The Senate budget includes $200 million, and the House budget has $79 million. Congresswoman Jennifer McClellan says Congress needs to take action.
Well, I am thankful that my former colleagues in the Virginia General Assembly are doing what they can to help backfill some of the expired federal tax credit. It's really on Congress to undo these tax handouts and making corporations and the ultra wealthy pay their fair share and restore funding for both Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act.
Nine House Republicans joined House Democrats earlier this year to pass a bill to revive Obamacare subsidies that expired last year. That bill is currently stalled in the Senate. I'm Michael Pope.
The Vape Enforcement Act requires vape shops to register with the state, and if they break state law, they could lose their licenses, Brad Kuttner reports.
Virginia's new vape registration law doesn't kick in until 2027, but once it's in place, Attorney General Jay Jones said his office is ready to enforce it.
We are funded to do this and have the resources and tools to hold these shop owners accountable. And if they continue to break the law, that they're going to lose their license. This is a really, really simple thing. If the products are not legal, you can't sell them.
The bill was carried by two Democrats, Arlington Delegate Patrick Hope and Henrico Senator Skylar Van Valkenburgh. A teacher, when not in the legislature, Van Valkenburgh said he was tired of seeing kids vaping in schools, and he believes the law will make that stop.
You're having kids bringing them in, sharing them, right, using them in the bathroom, using them in the hallway. And I think the real important part is to stop it before they even get access to it. And I think that's what this bill does.
Advocates for the vape industry, meanwhile, said the devices have helped many people quit smoking traditional cigarettes, which Tony Abood with the Vapor Technology Association argues are significantly more harmful.
And everybody knows that it's the cigarettes that are killing half a million Americans and thousands of Virginians every single year.
The law puts new licensing, permitting, and inspections under Virginia ABC with oversight from the AG's office. Legislators will have to approve the law again in 2027 before it can go into full effect.
Finally today, Augusta County officials held a cornerstone ceremony on Monday at the new courthouse, which is in the final stages of construction. Its opening will mark a new era in a county that predates the U.S. government. WMRA's Randy Behage reports.
County leaders and contractors gathered outside the nearly completed Augusta County Courthouse in Verona to ceremoniously apply mortar to the building's cornerstone. The 124,000 square foot brick and white column edifice will house the county's entire court system under one roof come June. The county's legal apparatus is currently split between the ornate 1901 Circuit Courthouse and the more austere General District Courthouse in downtown Stanton. The new complex features more courtroom space to accommodate increasing caseloads, modern technology, and architectural design to ensure security.
So from a security standpoint, not only for our staff, but for the citizens that come here, and for the inmates that may come from the jail that have to go to court, the security is so important. And this state-of-the-art system is second to none.
County Administrator Tim Fitzgerald has worked on this project for more than a decade. In a countywide 2016 referendum, voters chose not to move the courthouse. Negotiations broke down between the county and city over renovating the existing circuit courthouse. In 2021, the court's chief judge entered an order for the Board of Supervisors to somehow address facility conditions, which were insecure, out of repair, and posed health, welfare, and safety hazards. In 2022, a second referendum was held, and county voters approved building a new courthouse in Verona for $80 million, instead of staying in Stanton for about $104 million. The Stanton plan's higher cost was due in part to the logistics of demolishing and rebuilding within city confines, and the need for temporary court facilities in the meantime. Builders broke ground in Verona 2 years ago this month. Fitzgerald said they don't have a total price tag for the project yet, but they've stayed true to their word.
And it is going to come in less than $80 million. The building construction itself was, I think, around $56 million or so, but that did include site work and grading and road work and those types of things. But we will be under budget overall.
Is there a plan for what's going to happen with the old courthouse?
So a lot of folks have asked, and I know folks in the community want to know. I would say that what I can say right now is we're in some discussions with folks, and to stay tuned.
The target open date is June 15th. On that day, the county seat will shift to Verona, after 281 years of Stanton holding that position. According to the 1882 Chronicle, History of Augusta County, Virginia, the county was established under British rule in 1738 from parts of then Orange County, and it stretched all the way to the Mississippi River. Quote, from its ancient territory were subsequently carved the present states of West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and part of Pennsylvania. For several years, European settlers in Augusta had to travel over the mountains to Orange to conduct legal business. That inconvenience led to the organization of the county seat of Stanton in 1745, along with the area's first courthouse. With the establishment of a new center for legal and administrative affairs, the county is placing a time capsule in the building to carry pieces of the present into the next century or two. Officials haven't stipulated a certain date when it should be opened.
And I kind of foresee it happening maybe when there's some place down the road, it could be 100 years from now, that we do an addition to the building. That might be a good time to open it up and see what was in there and see what's changed, you know, in the world, and then close it back up with something else.
Candy Hensley is the project manager for the county. The time capsule includes construction photos, progress reports, yard signs from both referendums.
And we've even got some coins, pennies, because pennies are becoming obsolete. We've got those in there. And some challenge coins from different agencies like fire and rescue and from the sheriff's office, circuit court. And
both Hensley and director of facilities management, Rusty Sprouse, stressed the importance of having separate pathways for judges, the public, and incarcerated defendants to navigate the building.
The county has gone a long way to try to be fiscally responsible and stewards of their funding. One of the biggest things for me is just the circulation in the building, to where the public, the staff, and the inmates will never cross paths other than in the courtroom, which we do not have that currently.
Unfortunately, the world is not as safe as it used to be. What transpires in the next 100 years, 200 years is scary to think about, but hopefully, you know, it's kind of the same in a lot of ways. It's still safe, it's still secured. It might just need to be larger because of the population and caseloads, court caseloads, or that kind of thing.
A ribbon-cutting event is planned for June 3rd, when the public will be able to tour the building. In fair Verona, where we lay our county seat, for WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can find photos and links to more information at WMRA.org and on our app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.